Sing and be happy. I love that song, Phil. I think that sets the right mood this morning. Sing and be happy. We have much to be thankful for this morning as we sing together and praise God in song. And we are so thankful that you are here with us. We have visitors with us, and we're glad that you can be with us. We hope that you're encouraged here as we worship God together. Today is going to be a little bit different today, as you can tell by me being up here. The elders have decided that we need to do what Paul did in Acts 14. Okay, finally showed up. Give just 1 second. Went too far, I think. Keith, if you can put it on slide one, that'd be great. I'll let you do that. In Acts chapter 14, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 14 and verse 27 there, you will see that it's a situation where Paul says that they gathered the church together and told all that God had done with them. We have much to be thankful for at Palm Springs Drive. And we felt that this is the beginning of the year, and we need to consider all of the blessings that God has given us. Let us just remember now that it says that they gathered the church together. Let's remember what a church is. A church is a collection of individual Christians who come together and they commit to serve God together as the body of Christ. And that commitment is based on love for God and a love for each other. Forgiveness from God and each other. And the knowledge that we will never, never do it perfectly. We will never fully appreciate God's love and grace and show that love fully to each other, but that with God's grace, we just do the best we can, knowing even then that is not good enough. And that our commitment to each other is first based on our commitment to God, to wear the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to commit to love Him, serve Him, and honor Him. So our relationship with each other is first based on our relationship with God. God is here now. God is with us now. God cares about us now, right now. God is helping us, blessing us, and is working in our individual lives and in the work and worship of this congregation. And He has blessed us and continues to bless us. And we are thankful, and so we should be. I have a definition of blessing. A favor or gift bestowed by God. Help offered by God. That's my definition. I don't know if that would be Brian and Adam's definition, but that's what I have found. And the elders believe that since it's the beginning of the year, it is good and fitting to gather the church together and tell all of the favors and the gifts bestowed by God on the Palm Springs Drive Church in the last 2 years. For there are many favors, gifts, and blessings, and in some cases there has been change that helps us appreciate the blessings after they're gone. In Psalm 144 it says, "Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. The Lord is our God." Let us remember that. First blessing we're going to look at is the families who have moved away. You might think, well, that's an odd thing to start with. But these families were a blessing and a gift to this church, but they have moved away. Clyde and Lita Clymer and Michael Zachary left in September of 2015. James and Karen McClenney left in October of 2015. He's now faithfully preaching for the church in Clearwater and is doing well, and we are happy for James and Karen. They are doing wonderful things there, and he is doing what he's wanted to do. Dave and Jennifer Thomas moved away in December of 2015, and Mike and Gayla McKinley announced that they were moving in December. I'm not sure if they've actually moved away just yet, but they are in the process. These are all faithful Christians who contributed greatly to the work of the Lord here at Palm Springs Drive, and they are already a blessing at their local congregation. Indeed, they were a blessing to us from the Lord. Now we're going to look at those members who passed away. And I don't think we can fully appreciate where we are until we go back to how we got to where we are. June 27th of 2015, Bill Thiben passed away. July 4th of 2015, Bill Feist passed away. Bill was our preacher for almost 20 years, and he was a very close friend and brother of mine, and perhaps all of you here. And perhaps you felt the same way. He was a special blessing to us here at Palm Springs Drive. I think it's important for us to remember that. January 8th, 2016, Eric DeBoe passed away. His cheer and his interest in lost souls will be missed. June 10th of 2016, Patty Davis passed away, leaving a young son and a husband. November 24th, 2016, Jack Farrington passed away after a long and painful struggle with illness. It is difficult to bid farewell to those who have gone on ahead of us to be with the Lord. But each of these members left loved ones who remain with us today. And they too, like their relatives, are and were a blessing to us. They were loved and will be missed. Even now we can consider the blessing we had and their friendship as we labored together in the kingdom of the Lord. They each loved the Lord and were ready to give up this earthly temple after many years of labor and toil. They indeed are blessings from God. Give me just one second. Now, I'll try it. In Revelation 14:13, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." It is good to remember those who have labored with us and have gone on to be with the Lord. Our next blessing is one that we can all more fully appreciate, I think, and that is those who have been baptized. What an obvious blessing to consider those who became children of God in the last 2 years. Abby Weaver was baptized July 5th, 2015, the day after Bill Feist passed away. Will Rimmer was baptized October 16th, 2016. What a wonderful example for these two young people to commit their lives to living for the Lord while they are young. They have been and continue to be a blessing and an encouragement from the Lord. When we consider our blessings in the past 2 years, we praise God for hearts that respond to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 22:16 it says, "And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." They didn't wait. They saw the need in their lives to make a change. And we are thankful for that example. And they have been an encouragement to us by their decision. Our next blessing, it would be, of course, our family meeting and our new preacher. When Bill Feist passed away, it was a time of much change. And for the elders, and we were in uncharted waters, the elders decided to have our first family meeting in October of 2015, whereby all of you that are members were encouraged to participate by asking the elders questions or speaking your mind on the idea of adding a new second preacher. God blessed us with a very loving and constructive family meeting that day, and the whole church was able to come together to consider a very important decision. As a result of that meeting, the elders began the process of seeking a faithful, enthusiastic, and capable Christian man, perhaps one that knows martial arts as well, who would come to PSD. I mean, after all, Brian knows martial arts, so we had to have, you know, a matched pair here. And begin working with Brian and the whole church, serving the Lord together. The elders spent much time in prayer. Is that right? Asking God for guidance and to help us find that man that we needed for the work here. Because we know that God hears our prayers and wants to help us. The Lord blessed us with Adam Willingham and his wife Holly and their three wonderful children, Ty Stone and June Elise. I believe that it was God's providence that Adam could be in this very town and be able to come and work with us without too much upheaval for his family. Adam and Brian, you know that the elders consider you both a blessing from God. And I'm sure that I speak for this whole church to repeat what the psalmist said in Psalm 144 in verse 15. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. God has blessed us with that change, and God has blessed us with Adam Willingham and Brian Messerly, and we are thankful. Our next blessing is one that's always nice to have, new deacons. Without knowing exactly how our prayers for a second preacher would be answered, the elders determined that in the fall of 2015, the church needed more deacons. We were already blessed with four diligent Christian men who were doing great things, but were overloaded. Therefore, it only made sense to begin the process of adding more deacons. In September of 2016, we added Joshua Dews and Matt Heinley. We now have six men serving as deacons. What a blessing it is to add these two faithful men to our already good team of deacons. All of them are willing to work hard and serve well as deacons, in addition to their regular duties as providers, husbands, fathers, repair techs, encouragers, Bible class teachers, and just all around good examples to their children of what a faithful Christian father looks like. Yes, these men are a blessing from God. We praise God for our new deacons. In Luke 1:68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. We are thankful for all of our deacons and for the new deacons. There we go. Our next blessing, that was all about the people that are blessings. The next section of this is going to be about things. Our new blessing is a new website. We are very excited about our new website. At least I know I am. At the beginning of 2016, we began to load our directory and our other information into the website, either psd.church or psdchurchofchrist.org. Either one will get you there. Excuse me. And you might say, what are the benefits? And I say, there are quite a few. Our new directory, Our new directory is able to help you, to encourage you, to talk to or to ask for help from members in the directory. With family photos for all members, it's a very dynamic. It's up to date for all members to access. And the beauty of it is you can update your own information anytime it changes. You don't have to report it to one of the elders or one of the deacons, so that you control your cell phone numbers and your email addresses, and you can't change your birthday, I'm sorry. If you need help, there are plenty of people to assist you, including Tim and I and most of the deacons. And if you just want, I can just hear somebody now saying, Herb, I just want a paper directory. We can do that. It's easy. That's available anytime. Just ask and we can print one for you happily. We can do one here at the building if you want. Also, there is a tab called Member Map. Has anybody seen Member Map? You click on Member Map and it will open a map of Central Florida with a pin for everybody, for each family. You click on that pin and it'll show you the name of the people that live at that address. You click on that photo and it brings up the entire listing of that family. Names, addresses, phone numbers, yes, your birthday, cell phone, everything. Isn't that a blessing? For the blessings of more spiritual food, all the sermons in the adult classes are on the website to listen to or to watch. Yes, I said watch. You can watch the sermons now after they've been posted on the website with PowerPoint slides anytime you're ready to listen. I think the ability to watch these very good sermons from Adam and Brian is truly a blessing. And you can download the audio as an MP3 file and take it with you and listen to it whenever you want. All the bulletin articles are published there as well. And you can email any of the bulletin articles to a friend right from the website. It just pops, we click on mail, email, and it pops right up. Currently, there are about 1.5 to 2 years' worth of sermons and bulletin articles. Also, for more spiritual food, there are links to online Bible translations if you want to study the Bible and maybe you don't have all the translations you would like to read from. You can click on that. It takes you to another website. He will give you all of those translations. There are some study guides and correspondence courses that you can print, complete, and mail in yourself, or for a new or prospective Christian to use. Isn't that right, Brian? To better prepare for the blessings of worship, you can view and print the worship duties for the current month and often the following month, so you can be prepared to participate in the worship of God here. To more fully appreciate our financial blessings, the monthly financial reports and the annual budgets are available for all members to review and print. All of 2015 is there. All of 2016 is currently available under member files. And the budget for that year is there as well. To more fully appreciate the blessings of worshiping together, you can view the attendance for the adult Bible classes and all the worship services under the attendance tab. Makes sense? To more fully appreciate the blessings and the sacrifices of the preachers we support, you can read the regular evangelism reports we receive from those men that we support in Florida, in the U.S., and across the world under the tab Evangelism Reports. The news website is a real blessing to the work and the worship here at PSD. Finally, I have three more. The preachers' offices were remodeled. The deacons worked very hard and very long to remove the older bookcases and the paneling, to redo the walls, the ceilings, the bookcases, and replace the carpeting. That was finished in December. I'm sure that both preachers consider that a blessing. The new Bible class curriculum was adopted. In the fall of last year, the two preachers and the deacons worked very hard and very long to discuss, consider, and review the various possibilities for the new Bible class curriculum. The elders are grateful for all the hard work and for the curriculum that was selected. Even though the Bible classes are not designed to replace our home Bible studies, they can be very important at supplementing our own personal Bible study. What a blessing to have a new Bible class curriculum. And then finally, that last year, there were two very large anonymous contributions. One of them was by a member and one by a former member who passed away and left us in her will. And we are thankful to God for these blessings, which will help us continue the Lord's work here at PSD. Indeed, we are blessed by a mighty God, and He has provided us. Oh, it just died. Keith, if you give me the next to the last slide. Here we go. There we go. Sorry, my fault. In Genesis 49, I found this that I hadn't read in a very long time. I was looking for verses that helped us really appreciate God's blessings. And in Genesis 49 and 25, by the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that crouches beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of your father are mighty beyond the blessings of my parents, up to the bounties of the everlasting hills. What a blessing we have here. And then finally, my very last verse, I found in Psalm 106:48, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And that all the people say amen, praise the Lord, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Herb. Good job. It's very encouraging to see the things that occurred just this last year. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what the elders see as the future here and some things we have planned so that you can kind of mark those on your calendar, you can be thinking about them, and you can join along. First of all, I want to read a verse that Paul wrote to the Philippians that told a little bit about how he approached his journey toward righteousness and the goal of heaven. He says in Philippians 3:13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we need to do. It's great to look back and say, wow, we did lots of good things. But the real thing is we got to look forward and where we're going. And the elders meet often to try to keep this in front of us and what this congregation needs and make plans for that. So first I'm going to talk about the new members that joined us this past year. Now that was, you know, we talked about whether that would be something Herb would talk about or whether I would talk about. But, you know, these members joined us and they're part of our future. And so we want to approach it that way. And let me just say, first of all, it's always dangerous when you put a list of people together. Did you miss somebody? So I want to say, if we missed you and you joined us this past year, first of all, come tell me and let me know that I miss you. But take it like this, that you're such an integrated part of this family here. We thought you'd been here forever. This is sort of in order, maybe not exactly, but this is what we had as the members of the joint. Jonathan and Kendra Aiken, Rebecca Tabor, Judy Fischel, Adam and Holly Willingham and their kids, Anna Marcotte, Brooks and Cheryl Martin, Eric and Deanne Quist and their children, Thurman and Lena Davis, Yakina Green, Kristen Bolton, Randy and Debbie McCullum, Chuck and Donna Backus, Tegan Thigpen, Dave and Peggy Hunt, Dave and Linda Crowder, and Terry and Stacy Tokash. That's a lot of people that joined us this year. And you can look around and see, we have a pretty full building. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But, you know, we're really excited that we'd be able to get to know these Christians, and we're looking forward to seeing how they're going to be a part of us and what good things they're going to do here in this congregation. Part of the reason that we chose the theme of oneness and unity for this past year is because of the large number of people that have joined us. We want to remind ourselves that we need to welcome these people, bring them in and be a part of our lives, and just remember that we're all working together for the common goal. As Herb mentioned, we started a new class curriculum. And this quarter is the first part of that. And we have a really good start with that. And we have a well-thought-out, long-range program to help teach our children at all ages and the adults the Bible. If you remember that we presented this a couple weeks ago, that the younger children are going to be going through the Bible every 2 years, the middle-aged children every 3 years, and the adults every 4 years. And our plan is just to repeat this as long as it's effective, and it should help us to really come to know God's Word. We're going to be starting to look forward to appointing one or more elders in the near future. We believe there are some men here that meet the qualifications, and they may be actually ready to take on that responsibility. We need men that are also not quite ready to start thinking about these things and to strengthen themselves, to strive to meet the qualifications that are set out in Timothy and Titus. So if you have that desire, we ask that you read those qualifications, learn how to be a better Christian, and be someone that we can appoint as an elder in the future. I mentioned about the large number we have in our building here. It hasn't escaped our notice that we're getting a little crowded and that we need to make some building renovations here. We started, as Herb said, with the preacher's offices, but additional changes need to be made, partly due to the increase in size, but partly because this building needs just some updating and refreshing. First of all, we want you to understand that we are limited on expanding the footprint of this building. We've checked into this in the past a number of years ago, and just due to some county regulations, we virtually cannot increase the footprint, the size, under the foundation of this building. However, we have some creative ideas that we've been talking about that we think may allow us to add a few more people here without us feeling crowded. And we're going to pursue those. And of course, high on the list are the bathrooms. We know, ladies, that the bathrooms are not adequate for what we have here. They're not very, very accessible for those who have are in wheelchairs or have walkers. And we just pray or just ask that you just be patient with us on that. But we are looking at that as one of the first things to work on. It's very complicated to do that for a number of reasons, but we are looking toward doing that. This is a long-term project. We have county permits to get, we have design decisions to make, and we have a lot of coordination between contractors. So this isn't something that's going to be done very quickly, and we just ask that you be patient, but it is on our agenda of things to do. Along those lines, we're going to continue on improving our technology aspects here. We've done a number of things already. As Herb mentioned, the broadcasting of the video of our worship service, so that those who are shut in or not able to get out because of illness of one kind or another can still participate and benefit from the service here. But we have a few more things we want to do, mostly just to try to make the things we do here and the gospel that we teach here more accessible to as many as possible. We have two gospel meetings planned this year. The first one will be with Edwin Crozier in the spring, April 2nd through the 7th, if you want to mark that on your calendars. We've had Edwin here before, and he's very capable and very good speaker. And also Kenny Moore will be coming in the fall, October 22nd through the 27th. I don't believe we've ever had Kenny here. He used to preach at university. Congregation in Tampa. He's now up in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and he's a very good preacher. So mark those on your calendar. You know, we regularly have visitors that come in from the community, and we want to improve the way that we reach out to them. Many of these, we found, are looking for a church to join, and they just walk in the door and to check us out. And they want to learn more about God. And you know, if they come walking in this door, shame on us if we do not reach out and try to help them in what they're trying to find. So we're going to be looking for ways that we can reach out to them a little bit better. We encourage you, if you see a visitor, to be very friendly, to encourage them to come back and study with us and become a part of us. This also includes reaching out to some of our members that have drifted away. That's one of the things the elders fear the most. Is that, especially as we grow in number, that we have some that stop coming every time and slowly just drift away. And next thing you know, we go, where did that person go? So we're going to try to improve on that, and we ask for your help on that. If you see someone who's not been here in a while, let us know so we can go and talk with them and try to encourage them to come back. We're also going to be planning for evangelism. Brian has already started this with his evangelism class that he has over here, and he's going to repeat that class a number of times for those who weren't able to be in there this time. And there's other activity that we're going to plan in the future to help equip us in this important work, because that's what our mission is, isn't it? To be saving souls that are around us, helping others come to Christ. And then finally, our primary focus here as elders is to help you become closer to God. So we're going to be continuing to look out for those that are struggling and need help, and trying to help shore them up and help them to be stronger Christians. For all of us here, we encourage you to plan to attend to every assembly, to read your Bible daily, to pray often, and to use your talents here in this congregation, and just to make God a part of your daily life. You know, the elders and the deacons, we cannot do it all. We need all of you to be a part of this congregation and a part of the efforts here. You know, Satan is active in our world today. We see it all around us. And we need to be diligent about strengthening our spiritual armor so that we can withstand him. And we need to let our Christian light shine for the community around us so they can see God through our lives. We want to be a church that has a reputation that Paul noticed of the Thessalonians. I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians verses 6 through 9. Paul writes, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God." Wouldn't that be great if we had that kind of reputation, that this group over here in Altamont Springs has strong faith and strong love of God and is striving to bring others to God? I assure you, the elders pray every time we meet that God will give us knowledge and wisdom and strength to lead this group. And as Paul wrote in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, our goal is that we lead you until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ. We want us all to be mature so that we may all be together in heaven with God.
Let's pray.
Dear Father in heaven, we want to pray this prayer of thanksgiving to you. And Father, as we have just gone through so many of the blessings and we've counted them off, we've counted our blessings, Father, we are amazed at how much you have given us. We are amazed at the hearts of the people that you have brought together in this place. And Father, we're thankful to you for that. Father, we don't want to blow this, so if you see us getting off track, and Father, if you see the elders going in the wrong direction, if you see the hearts of the people starting to become dull, we pray, Father, that you will give us the strength, that you will shake us and wake us up, and that we will encourage and always return to you. These blessings that you have given us the last couple of years, Father, we know that's from you. Don't give Satan an opportunity, Father, to divide us, to split us up, to hurt us, to use things against us. Help us recognize the fact that we are in a battle, and we are thankful that you are fighting for us. Father, we have our hearts and our souls here with us this morning, pointed and directed towards you. We are thankful that we can sing praises to the Creator who made everything, that we can pray to you, and that we can grow. Father, be with all of us, all the Bible class teachers, the deacons that are here, the members that do so many kind deeds and show so much passion towards one another. Father, we are thankful that we live in a land where we really are blessed financially. We have and are not wanting really for anything. We pray, Father, that you will help us to use those things wisely. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us the way you have. We pray, Father, that you will bless us with the gospel meeting coming up with Edwin Crozier soon. And we will make preparations in our hearts for that gospel meeting. But we pray, Father, that you will help us to make preparations in our hearts for everything that you've done and all the blessings you give, to receive them in a way of where we are nothing but thankful. Help us, Lord, and be with us as we sing about the blessings that you have given us, and as we close out with Adam speaking to us this morning. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we are able to worship you today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
/392
We'll sing all three verses.
You went up on life's pillows, you are champions of us. When you are discerning, singing all his laws. Count your many blessings in them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings in them one by one. Count your blessings, sing like God has done. Count your blessings.
Well, I'm sure that Satan does not like the encouraging update that we've had today. He would love to just invade this congregation and make sure that this church doesn't grow spiritually or numerically in 2017. But of course, Satan would do that in a way that is subtle and not glaringly obvious, so that even perhaps the most spiritually mature wouldn't be able to detect his craftiness. He would try and make us change in small, imperceptible, seemingly innocent ways. So I want to talk to you very briefly, in a tongue-in-cheek kind of a way, about how to prevent church growth in 2017. Three surefire ways to just stop the growth in its tracks and maybe even just cause it to go backwards. Number one is be uninvolved. First and foremost, Satan wants you to be uninvolved in the work here at Palm Springs Drive. He knows that when each individual member is doing his part, then good things happen. As the word of the Lord says in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verses 15 and 16, in Ephesians chapter 4, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Satan doesn't want that. He doesn't want each part of the body doing its job. He wants you to be uninvolved so that less will get done in this congregation and so that you'll make very little impact on anybody here. So how do you accomplish this, doing the opposite of what this passage says? How can we be uninvolved in practical terms? Well, Satan wants you to be a pew potato. We all know what a couch potato is. A pew potato is somebody who comes and basically just sits in the pew and watches the worship. It's okay with Satan if you're bodily present. Just don't contribute in any way to the services or in anybody's life. Don't really be involved even in your heart in what's going on. Don't offer to be a Bible class teacher or an assistant teacher or even to start working towards that. Men, don't sign up to lead singing or to teach a Wednesday short talk. Women, don't sign up to help prepare the communion or to attend or teach the women's Bible study. Children, don't do your Bible lessons, right? And adults, the same. And all of us, be sure to never ask the elders or the deacons or the preachers if there's anything that you can do to help. There probably isn't any work left for you to do anyway. I'm sure it's all taken care of. Don't even do small acts of kindness, like writing notes of encouragement to your brethren or sending cards to the sick. You know, others probably don't need that encouragement after all. So be a pew potato. Now, it would actually be better, as far as Satan is concerned, if you never came at all, if you just didn't show up. Hebrews 10:25, and Satan knows that this passage teaches this, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, Satan wants you to do exactly the opposite of what the writer of Hebrews is trying to encourage. He wants you to forsake our own assembling. He wants you to make that habitual, so that you won't be able to encourage anyone. In fact, the opposite will happen. So, whatever you do, be uninvolved in the work here. Be totally disinterested. Be complacent about making any kind of contribution. Bury your talents, like the one talent man in the parable that Jesus told. That's the best way to prevent this church from thriving and growing. Second way to prevent church growth in 2017 is to be antisocial. In addition to being uninvolved in the work here, Satan really wants you to be uninvolved in anybody's life, ever. That way you won't be building any meaningful relationships that could cause good things to happen. He wants you to be the opposite of the early church that we read about in Acts chapter 2, where it says in verses 46 and 47, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. In this passage, there's a direct connection between the day by day worshiping together and just spending time with each other and the day by day salvation of souls. And so Satan surely doesn't want you to be like that early church. So how can we be the opposite of the model that we read about in the Bible? Well, we could start by being inhospitable. And if there's ever any kind of hospitality that is offered, don't go. Having people over to your home and getting to know them on a personal level is a terrible way to prevent church growth. If you have people over, then you will be humbly serving your brethren. Romans 12:13 says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That's the last thing Satan wants you to do, is to contribute to anybody's needs, especially the needs of the saints. Now, if you do decide to practice hospitality, just make sure that it's the same old clique every time. Your closest friends, those maybe who are related to you, but you wouldn't want to expand outside of your inner circle. That actually might make other people feel included. Satan would hate that. Also, if you're going to insist on being hospitable, just make sure that it's never with the new members of our congregation who need to build relationships right off the bat. Satan would never want you to show hospitality to strangers, and that's ultimately what new members are until we get to know them. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Well, Satan wants you to do just that. Neglect to show hospitality to those new people so they will remain strangers to you and you strangers to them. If you reached out to them, that would almost certainly make a huge impression on them, and then they would be much more likely to become committed to the work here. Satan wants none of that. Another practical word of advice here on being antisocial, and this just feels so weird to say this stuff, is don't you dare talk to visitors. Satan would never want you to initiate conversation with somebody you've never met before that's in this church building, or to be genuinely interested in their lives. He knows that visitors are often looking for a church home, or that they're curious about the gospel. One of the worst things you could do to prevent church growth is reach out to people like that. In everything you do, be antisocial. Don't even try to push yourself out of your comfort zone at all. Convince yourself that nobody would really like you anyway, even if you tried to be friends with them. And tell yourself that everybody here is judging you anyway, and there's no reason why you don't want to reach out to any of these church people. Third suggestion on how to prevent church growth in 2017 is be negative. Satan wants you to be the kind of person that brings others down instead of lifts others up. He knows that negativity spreads like wildfire, leading quickly to division and unrest. He knows what happened with the Israelites, how they came out of Egypt and came to the edge of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, and they sent in 12 spies, and 10 of the 12 came back and said, well, there's no way we can defeat these big people. They're too big for us. We can't fight them. And that fear and that negativity spread like a cancer throughout all the congregation of the Israelites, to the point that they turned against the leadership and they turned against God, and they made a plan to go back into captivity. And Satan knows that if just this negativity can kind of start and spread, that we will turn against our leadership and maybe turn against our God, and maybe we want to go right back into the captivity of sin. He wants us to be like those that Jude warns about in Jude verse 16. These are grumblers finding fault. He wants us to be the opposite of what Philippians 2:14 says, where it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Satan would say, do nothing without grumbling or disputing. And so how does that work on a practical level? A couple of words of advice here on how to be negative. Be critical of every little thing you don't like here at Palm Springs Drive, such as the way someone ignored you 10.5 years ago, or the way that they talked to you, or the way that they looked at you, but be upset about something about them, or the length of services, or the style of the decoration in the building. Of course, we talked about how there's plans to work on that. The topic of the Bible class. How noisy children can be. Who knew children were noisy? And so be negative about all of that. Anything that you can think of to be critical, the more the merrier. Another practical word of advice on how to be negative here is gossip. Gossip about your brethren. When you learn about something unsavory that one of your brethren has done, or when you're upset about something that one of your brethren has done to you, Satan wants you to remember this one rule. Always talk about brethren, never to them. And pretend that you're talking to others about this other person because you're genuinely concerned, but you never really actually have a plan of talking to the person at all. We're just going to talk about it to others. Satan knows that by your doing this, you will cause problems, that you will spread strife. Proverbs 16:28 says a perverse man spreads strife. And a slanderer separates intimate friends. Satan wants you to be just like that person. He wants you spreading strife. He wants you separating intimate friends and separating intimate brethren. Now, perhaps the most effective way to do this is when the person that you're gossiping about is in the role of leadership, like our elders. Because if you can get this congregation, if you can get your brethren to lose their trust in the leadership, then they'll be much more likely to discount anything that the leadership does to try and help this congregation flourish. Another word of advice here is when gossiping, make sure that you never first think of a solution to your problem before backstabbing your brethren. Just speak without any thought to fixing the problem. That way a solution will never be worked out and your slanderous speech will only serve to deepen the problem. That'll be great. That's exactly what Satan wants. In any and every way possible. Be negative. Miserably negative. Don't you dare let joy spread in your heart or blossom among your brethren. Put a stop to that. Bring everybody down. This is a surefire way to prevent church growth here at Altamont Springs. Now, you know, I've been talking very sarcastically about all of this. This whole lesson has been the opposite of what we need to do. Don't do any of that. Children, okay, don't do any of that. When I said don't do your Bible lessons, I wasn't serious. Don't be uninvolved. Don't be antisocial. Don't be negative. Instead, be involved. What can I do to contribute? What talents do I have that I can use to contribute to the work here? Be social. I'm not saying you have to turn into a social butterfly if you're a shy person, but be interested in others. Be interested in your brethren. And be a positive person. Be someone that lifts others up and doesn't drag them down. These are three simple ways to help promote spiritual and numeric growth here at Altamont Springs. And if we do these things in 2017, I hope and trust that the Lord will continue to bless us in this congregation with growth. And that next year, if we have this kind of a service where these things are announced like it was today, that we'll have another encouraging update on the progress of this church. But it's going to take all of us working together and doing our own individual part. If you're not a Christian, we like to leave an opportunity open, though I've not talked about the conditions for salvation. You have to believe in the Lord. And you have to repent of your sins and confess His name and be immersed in water and rise from the waters to walk in newness of life. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. This is as good an opportunity as you will have. And we have the baptismal waters behind me. If you'd like to become a Christian, or if you need our prayers, then we'd love to pray for you. If you'd please come, if we can assist you now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.